I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. There are times that I sit on my front porch in Cambridge, Massachusetts, 7 blocks from the Charles River, and remember how close I am to sea level. I got nothing on the Netherlands, though, a crowded, flat country where most of the residents already live near or even below sea level. And the Dutch know all too well that the effects of climate change, especially rising seas, are already here. So they're adapting, and quickly. All this week on The World, we're looking at how the Dutch are learning to live with higher water and how some of those approaches are catching on right here in the U.S. Today, we begin with Chris Bentley from our partners at the Ground Truth Project in Rotterdam.
When a huge storm hits a coastal city like New York or New Orleans, it's often the storm surge that does the most damage. When the next big one hits Rotterdam, the Maasland storm surge barrier will be ready for it.
The Maasland storm surge barrier is the biggest mobile barrier in the world.
Peter Persoon is an engineer turned tour guide at the barrier.
The length is to compare with the Eiffel Tower in Paris.
The Dutch built this massive steel gate in the 1990s to protect Rotterdam from a surge of up to 3 meters. That was back when much of the world still saw climate change and sea level rise as distant threats. Of course, the Dutch have a long tradition of fighting the sea and investing in the long term.
Well, what we are busy is for the future. What are the circumstances in 2100?
Persoon says this barrier should protect Rotterdam from everything up to a 1 in 10,000 year storm. Compare that to the levees protecting New Orleans before Hurricane Katrina, which are built for a 1 in 100 year event. So far, they've only had to close this barrier because of an actual storm once. Construction alone cost more than $500 million. And that's just a small slice of what the country is investing to fight the likely effects of climate change. But Persoon says it's money well spent.
If our country is flooded, the damage will be at least 700 billion euros. So if instead of you spend every year 1 billion euro, you spread the bill in 700 years. So that's, I think, the Dutch way.
That Dutch way goes back hundreds of years. The modern Dutch government actually grew out of medieval water boards that managed the windmills and canals that kept the country dry. But in the 21st century, it's a challenge on a whole different scale. About 30 miles west of downtown Rotterdam, where the Rhine River empties into the North Sea, more than 10,000 acres of filled-in land make up the biggest port in Europe. This area, called the Maasvlakte, was built in the 1960s and 70s. Today, it's undergoing a $3 billion expansion, and the Dutch are making sure to protect their investment.
Now, the listeners of your radio program cannot see what we see at the moment, but we are looking at the hard seawall of the Maasvlakte, which consists of 20,000 concrete cubes.
In the visitor center, the port's Martin van Austin stands in front of a model of the seawall surrounding the newest parts of the port.
For the seawall, we took in account a possible sea level rise and we studied the worst case scenario.
That worst case scenario led to a wall 14 meters high. That's the maximum projected height of the water in the year 2060. Assuming a foot of sea level rise and a powerful storm rolling in during high tide.
And we are quite sure that this slope with these concrete cubes are high and strong enough to protect us against the extreme event.
Quite sure, but not completely.
Long-term planning in sea level rise is almost impossible. We are constantly evaluating our protection systems.
The Dutch are even reevaluating the basic premise that they can build their way out of danger. Along with all the dikes, seawalls, and storm surge barriers, they're embracing a new philosophy of working with nature. Just down the coast, near The Hague, they're experimenting with a so-called sand engine made from millions of tons of sand pumped into the offshore shallows that lets the North Sea sculpt its own defenses against erosion. The Dutch are also experimenting with a whole new approach to urban development, floating buildings.
So here you can see these two
pillars, yeah.
Pillars.
Hans Bacherman shows me the support pillars for a floating pavilion on the Rijnhaven, the old harbor in downtown Rotterdam. It's made of two domes and can host 400 people.
It's a working building. It's even less for show than you would expect. It's not an expo.
The pavilion floats on a platform of styrofoam, concrete, and high-tech cushions. The domes are made of ultralight plastic.
And when it rains, you can hear it.
Floating buildings are still a boutique solution, even here in Rotterdam. But Bacherman says they could become more common as climate change forces developers to get more creative.
Because a lot of parts of Holland are outside of the dikes. There's no way you can build buildings unless they are floating.
All these innovations and more have made the Netherlands a mecca for people from other parts of the world that are confronting a future of rising seas. Delegations from abroad are constantly scouring the country for ideas, and the Dutch are more than eager to share and sell their expertise. But that doesn't mean they're complacent.
We keep on learning and adapting. It's not that we know it all. Definitely not.
Carola van Helder is a senior advisor for the National Water Management Authority.
That's why we also go abroad and look at other ways of dealing with climate change, because we learn a lot from other countries as well. And we try to adapt that to our systems.
And with the effects of sea level rise just beginning to pile up, adapting to it might remain a work in progress for centuries, even for the Dutch. For the world, Chris Bentley, Rotterdam.